Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, another busy week for baseball. A couple of men's golfers punching their tickets to the NCAA regionals, track and field, getting ready for the Sun Belt Championships. But right now, we're going to spend the bulk of this episode joined by the man who has served as the athletic director and the vice chancellor of intercollegiate athletics the last 3 years. He recently accepted a job as an executive vice president at Learfield, and we brought him in for his exit interview today. It's Jeff Purinton.
Good to be here. Yeah, this is my first exit interview. Take it easy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is a chance to ask all the hard stuff now.
That's right.
We've been throwing softballs for 3 years.
I told our staff you're going to get completely unfiltered, Jeff, this last week.
There's all kinds of things we want to cover and kind of celebrate, things that have happened over the course of the last 3 years. But I'm going to go back to a couple of weeks ago. I'm calling the game at Georgia Southern on a Friday night, and phone starts to blow up a little bit. Reports are starting to come out that you're leaving. I'll tell you my immediate reaction. First thing is, well, that sucks. I hate it. I really like that guy. He's done a great job.
So he texts me. During this game, this is not the only text I got like this on this Friday night. So he's like, what the heck? I'll say he texts me. And I was like, all I can tell you is I was sitting in the guy's office at 5 o'clock this evening talking about the game at Arkansas.
It happened really fast, like these things usually do, and that was also Easter weekend.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have one-on-one, face-to-face conversations with some of the people, obviously Dr. Shields, some of our coaches. I was working to get those done, and it had been kept confidential for the most part.
Yeah.
And I didn't even say where I was going at that point in time because it was part of a bigger restructure. So it wasn't just me. There were other people that are going to be impacted at Learfield. But I did tell my new bosses, I said, look, I have a lot of relationships in college athletics, a lot of relationships in the media. So once this kind of starts to go, you know, I don't know if we can keep this under wraps through the weekend. So I was trying to get through Easter. Of course, it never works out the way you kind of plan it, and had to adjust a little bit on the fly.
I told you my initial reaction, and then my next thought was, okay, well, what school is he leaving for? Because you have done a great job over the last 3 years.
Appreciate
and I think
that.
Most people are thinking, okay, well, he got a job at another university. Come to find out that wasn't the case. So why is this move to Learfield the best move for you right now?
Yeah, well, first, you know, the last probably three jobs, I've never applied. I haven't called and lobbied or anything like that. When I left the Orange Bowl to go to Alabama, I wasn't tracking on a job with Coach Saban. I didn't know Coach Saban. I'd never been to Tuscaloosa before. It just goes to show it's all about relationships and how you treat people first and foremost. Hopefully, I've done a good job with that, so it opened the door up at Alabama. Same thing when I came to Arkansas State. I got a call from the search firm. Did a little bit of research on A-State and Jonesboro and talked to Julie, and I said this might be a good spot because we wanted to stay hopefully in the Southeast. Now there would be exceptions to that, but also go to the right place for the girls, so schools and the people in the community, and that's been unbelievable, even better than we anticipated. We knew we were coming to a really good place. The same thing with this situation. I've worked with Learfield for a number of years. I was the point of contact at our property at Alabama. And obviously they were really good to work with here, especially as we figured that out when I first started. Our multimedia rights deal was up in 30 days. Usually you want about a year runway on those things.
That's right.
Had to navigate some difficult channels there. So really like Cole Gehagan and Kim Damron, that's the CEO and the president who I will report to, and there'll be four EVPs below them. So I got a call again from a mutual friend in the sports world, and I said, you know, that's an intriguing opportunity. I said, I'd be willing to have a conversation. And then it just went fast, like I said, from there. And then as they laid out the plan and talked about my areas and which schools I would be working with, it just made a lot of sense. And an unbelievable opportunity to grow professionally, but also work with a lot of the ADs and administrators and coaches that I've gotten to know through my 15 years at Alabama in the SEC.
Before we go any further, what is this job? I mean, executive vice president, but you're going to be involved with the SEC, right?
Yeah, I'll have the SEC and some other schools. I'm still getting all that ironed out right now. But, you know, you're working to obviously sustain the current contracts that you have with those schools and then hopefully build from there. But if you look across the board, when it comes to MMR, Learfield has many, many of the great schools in the power conferences and the G5. So looking to expand always, but also make sure we have good relationships and we're doing all the right things on those campuses.
How many of those 16 SEC schools you got?
I was adding it up. I think it's a dozen or 13. I'll dig in and find out where everybody is on their contracts. Many of them are really long-term contracts, but they're look-ins as well. So we'll have to evaluate those and see who we need to maybe re-up or things we need to fine-tune.
All right, that's a look ahead. We want to spend most of this conversation kind of looking back at this journey of the last 3 years. And look, whenever you leave a place, you want to say that you left it better than you found it. It seems that is definitely the case here from what you inherited 3 years ago to what it is now. And Jerry had put it out in the press release, 12 conference titles since being hired are the most in the Sun Belt during that span. That's something to definitely be proud of. But when you look back, is there something that you're most proud of when you look back at these last 3 years?
Yeah, I think the success across the board, of course, leading the Bubas Cup standings right now. And I think, too, when you look at our conference, the Sun Belt is so much better than it was a few years ago. We've added some really good schools and then some schools that have much larger budgets than we do. So I'm proud that we've been able to accomplish, and it's not just me, obviously. It's our staff, our coaches, our fans and donors and the support we get. But just to elevate our programs, and it starts with the people. So I didn't want to come in here and just say, hey, move these four people out. I'm bringing these people in from Alabama or who I'm familiar with. I wanted to kind of evaluate where we were. And we have a lot of really good people. We did when I first got here. We still do. Hopefully we've added to that. But you have to hire really good coaches or great coaches. I mean, I know that sounds simplistic, and then give them what you're able to, give them the resources they need to have success. So I'm proud of the growth of football, both basketball programs, all of our sports. Track and field was already rocking and rolling. Bowling was already in a really good place, so we extended some of those contracts. But to get some of our sports that maybe weren't reaching the potential, in my opinion, to get them going, something I'm certainly proud of.
I know we'll talk about some of these case by case later, but since you just said you have to hire great coaches at Arkansas State, and back it up, even because people know you led that search at Alabama that produced Nate Oates as the basketball coach.
I would say Greg Byrne led it and I assisted, but it was okay. The two of us. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if Greg may
just
be listening
in case he's
in.
Listening. Yeah.
But Alabama would be one of the Learfield schools. So got to keep Greg in a good place.
So be that as it may, you know, you've developed this reputation as being a very good hirer of coaches. Your batting average is high. Why is that?
I think there are a lot of things I'm not very good at, but I think one of the things I am good at is evaluating people. Just even, for example, Coach Silva, about 10 minutes into the interview in the Zoom with him, you know, my gut feeling was this is the guy. We still got other people we have to talk to. We got to make some calls. So that part of it, and then having some people in the industry, not only that you can call and get feedback, but get honest feedback. Like, what is the real story of this coach? You know, what is he or she like behind the scenes? And then figure it out from there. But hopefully my reputation is that when other coaches call and ask about Jeff Purinton, that they'll say good things, works hard, trustworthy, will do whatever he can do to help you have success.
I'm curious now, just after we've spent a season with him, about Coach Silva. And, you know, we talk pretty much every week about just how candid he is, especially with his interviews and his post-game interviews. I don't know what he's going to say when he gets on there, but I know it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
You said you could tell 10 minutes in how special of a guy he was. I guess just by the way he talked, mm-hmm. I can see that now, how much of a straight shooter he is.
Yeah, and that's how people would be drawn to him. Exactly. Yeah. And not only just a straight shooter, but just his messaging and how thoughtful he was and his knowledge of the game. And then, of course, we looked back at, you know, what he had done at Nichols in bringing them to the NCAA tournament, you know, the last 2 years. And then I watched some of his games when they were in a regional. I think they almost knocked off Alabama. There was a few other close games. So it wasn't that they just made the NCAAs. They were super competitive. I mean, he's a builder. He embraces that. And we still have a lot of work to do with baseball. I mean, the turf's awesome. And we wouldn't have gotten that last game in Sunday for sure.
Oh, gosh.
Scoreboard's great. The wall, all of those things. But that's the first phase, and then we got to continue to go from there. But there were other schools interested in Mike, and so that was the other thing. And that's where you got to have the support of Dr. Shields and the system and the board, because we needed to get the salary up some to get him here, because there was another school offering significantly more. But I think Mike, like I said, is a builder. He believed in Arkansas State, and he saw the potential here. And obviously he's off to a good start. And we got a tough few series here to close it out. But if we could get to Montgomery, I think that'd be a huge success in terms of his first season.
It's also not that it's what you set out to do, but like, I don't know if people realize what a big deal it is to hire a sitting Division I head coach, because really the only other time I can think of that happening is Coach Patchell. He was an alum, so you kind of right. You know, they kind of had a little bit of a head start. It's not every day Arkansas State can go get somebody else's at a D1 school's head coach in anything.
Right. And I was trying to see if we could get him hired without – I didn't come to campus. I'd never been to Jonesboro, just like I was saying about Tuscaloosa. But it was important for Mike to come in and see. So as soon as we got through all the interviews – we got him here in the next couple of days, and I actually had to leave for Board of Trustee retreat. And so I was only here for half the time, but I think I've told this story. Halfway through, I told Brandon Cunningham, who's our baseball oversight, and he did a lot of the legwork on the search and helped me out a good deal. I said, Mike, I know we're supposed to do the whole, you know, visit, and you still haven't even seen everything, but I want you to be our baseball coach, and I'm offering you this job. And I know you need time to think it over and talk to your wife, but I offered him the job after his first few hours in Jonesboro. Fortunately, it all worked out. And I know, you know, there's a playbook of how you hire, or if you use a search firm, and you got to start off with all these initial interviews, and then you bring 2 to 3 to campus. Well, sometimes
you just
got to vary it. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
call an audible.
That's right. And the other thing about hiring sitting head coaches, a lot of times you have buyouts, you have different things to navigate. Usually assistants don't have anything like that if they're making the move up to the head coaching role.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact, spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T, club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Jeff Purinton here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. We were talking about coaching hires, and you've had to make a couple on the men's basketball side since you've been here, and made a great one with Brian Hodson, and he won 45 games in his 2 seasons here. You knew the possibility for him to go somewhere else after 2 really good seasons here. You know, you go back to that Nate Oates tree once mm-hmm. again and hire Ryan Pinone. Now, we haven't really interviewed you since you hired Coach Pinone.
Right.
So what was it that made him stand out?
Well, first, this wasn't a 100% it had to be this way, but I wanted to continue to play the style of basketball that Nate and what they do at Alabama. Get up and down the court, shoot threes. I saw it there. I saw how it worked. And I know, even especially in recruiting, that's what kids want to play in these days. So I didn't know Coach Pannone. Everybody, I think people connect to Alabama, and I didn't know he was with the Pelicans as an assistant when I was at Alabama. So I knew Nate must have seen something, and then watching Alabama play these last couple of years and average 90 points a game and lead the country, that's the formula. You know, when we sat down and Dr. Kelly and Dr. Shields and Brad Phelps and Jerry Scott, who's our men's basketball sport oversight, the five of us were involved in the process, and it was also one of those things. You know, after the interview, we were like, wow, what a sharp guy. And not only the basketball side, but talked about culture and then his experiences and coaching in the G League and coaching overseas. And at our level, you know, you want to get some, hopefully there's some really good Arkansas players and some recruits from the Southeast. But I think you're going to also have to be creative and think outside of that. And international basketball is played at a really high level, and it was interesting listening to him talk about that too.
When you go hire Coach Hodson, this was a guy who's like, his reputation had been built, and you know, he was on the fast track because of how he was viewed as a recruiter, mm-hmm. one of the best in the country. You go right back, as you said, same coaching tree, although those guys weren't at Alabama together either.
Right.
But it's a bit of a philosophical shift because Coach Pannone is deeply rooted, like he's held as a X's and O's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any, I wouldn't say pause for concern, but did you think about that? Hey, it's different kind of strong suits from one another.
Well, I think you have to ask those questions during the interview, and you want to see how they respond. Coach Hodson did a great job saying, I'm going to surround myself with assistant coaches that, you know, I'm going to have an X's and O's person on offense and somebody that specializes on defense. And he already had a couple people in mind. Ironically, we did the interviews. I guess I can say all of this now. It's not a secret. We did the interviews in Birmingham. That was me and Chuck Welch, actually, because Todd was just starting as chancellor here on campus. But Brian had flown in T and Jamie, because they've been lifelong friends for the most part, to watch Alabama play in the NCAA regional there. So he kind of floated the idea of, hey, you know, would you like to talk to T and Jamie? They're going to be there. And I said, huh. I said, well, let me talk to Chuck about that. And so Chuck's like, yeah, that's unique. I've never really heard of that before. So we interviewed several coaches, and then Brian had to go to practice, and then T and Jamie came in separately. And if you've gotten to know them a little bit, yeah. Just two super impressive guys, and they talked a lot about Brian, but also his vision and how that all would work. So the same thing with Coach Pannone. He needed to hire a couple of good recruiters, and he talked about that during his interview. I mean, you don't want to hire someone, for the most part, that thinks they have everything figured out. Like, everybody has weaknesses, and how are you going to supplement those weaknesses and hire good people around you?
The other thing, just in this hire, is that to me it said a lot that, you know, Nate Oates got where he got largely on the way he plays offense, and he brought this guy in to run his offense. So yeah. That says a lot. And two, but just with your connection and your ties to Coach Oates, look, Nate Oates is not going to sell Jeff Purinton a lemon.
Right.
Like, he's not going to let him make
a bad
hire.
It goes back to what we were just talking about with relationships.
Yeah.
Nate and I have a great relationship. I was the basketball sport oversight when he first started. I talked to Nate extensively, and I appreciate him taking time because he's playing in the tournament trying to get back to the Final Four. But I'd text him, and he'd carve out some time, and I'd run some names by him, and he obviously kept it all confidential. But he said great things about Coach Pannone, and yeah, he was instrumental in this whole process. I talked to Greg Byrne as well, and then a bunch of people in basketball like Jay Billis and Jeff Goodman and a lot of those guys. You really need to talk to people also who have a pulse of the whole world of college basketball, no matter whatever sport you're talking about. I think the media can be an asset as long as you trust them not to leak out on the information.
I do kind of want to ask you about football, because you've seen this football program just kind of take some big steps over the last few years, going from 2 wins to 3 wins to 6 wins to 8 wins, including a bowl game victory this past year. I'm sure from your perspective, it's been fun working alongside Coach Jones and seeing what he's been able to do.
No question. Yeah, the first year I was here, we were coming off the 2-win, and we went 3-9. Had some tough games, but all through that, if you're around the program, you can see Butch building the culture the right way. and the kids respond to him and how he messaged them. I like what I saw, and I felt very positive that this thing would get rolling and then to get to a bowl game and then win eight last year. When you really look at it historically, we haven't won eight games a ton of times. I don't have the Jerry Scott stats in front of me, but it's only a handful. Or Mark Taylor, yeah. I give Jerry too much credit, don't
I? You do, yeah.
My old SID days. But, yeah, and then, like I said, the buy-in, and you're going to have movement these days. I mean, it's the craziest time I've ever been around college athletics, and that's now 30 years or so. But with the transfer portal, we've lost some, but we haven't lost as many as some of our peers, and I think that's because of the great job Coach does with the program and also our new university. A lot of our players will say they came here or they stayed because of campus and the community, and this feels like home to them. So I think all of that ties into it.
I wanted to ask, because people are going to draw their own conclusions, and you've been candid even in this conversation where, you know, this next opportunity found you. Some people are going to say, well, I don't blame him for getting out of this deal,
right?
Period. And because you've seen your peers do it, seen coaches do it. 3 years is not that long a time, but it's drastically different than it was 3 years ago. And even when you came in, it's not, you were having to deal with budget shortcomings and this and that. But now you add to it NIL stuff, house settlement, rev share, blah, 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 blah. In this job, as you leave it, what percentage of your day was spent on something that had something to do with money?
At least half.
I was expecting most a meetings, much bigger number.
Yeah, it probably is higher than that. But most meetings, there is some kind of ask, whether it's a staff member or a coach. It does tie in with money. And you have to figure out how you want to allocate resources. And our budget isn't in the top half of the Sun Belt. But campus and the system, and like I said, the board has done a great job equipping us with what we need to hire great coaches and staff members and then retain them as well. Let me go back on that part too, Bo, because I have gotten calls about other AD jobs. I won't mention them specifically, but even with all the house settlement and all the things we have going on with Portal and NIL, I would have taken this job if none of that was going on.
Yeah.
It's a great organization, great company, great people. I think it's an unbelievable opportunity. So it wasn't that I had too many conference calls about whatever's going on with the house settlement that just said, okay, let's go.
I mean, yeah, I believe that. It's a big opportunity to work with schools you already know, with a company you already know that's really, I mean, this ain't no startup. This is a monster company, multi-tiered. I mean, really, I mean,
and they do it the right way. And that's
athletics without being an athletic department.
Correct. They do it the right way. The schools that they work with have 100% trust in the deal that they make with them. And that was a big draw as well.
What are you going to miss the most?
Yeah, I know people say it, but really the people. And I'm talking about our coaches and staff and the student athletes. I was just down with the men's golf team in Mississippi for the Sun Belt tournament. And so you really get to know a lot of those guys and the golfers because you're riding around and talking to them. And Thomas Schmidt was out at the golf deal Friday at JCC we had with the Impact Club. And coming off a heartbreaking loss, and everybody wanted to go back-to-back and win the Sun Belt. But Thomas was out there and shaking hands with people. And, you know, I'm trying to do this the right way, and I'm not the star of the show or anything like that. And that's probably not the right term. But Thomas is like, are you going to say something to everybody at the end of the day? I said, I don't think so, Thomas. I said, you know, it's kind of time to let this play out. And he goes, I think you should. I said, all right. I said, I'll do it. So, because Coach Jones was going to wrap up the day, I said, hey, I just wanted to thank people and tell them how much we appreciated how well our family's been treated. So, and a lot of the main people and donors and our season ticket holders were in that group. So that was a neat moment, and I appreciate Thomas encouraging me to make that happen.
Yeah, being able to.
But really, it is the people, and that's what's going to be, honestly. It'll be difficult learning a new job because there's a lot that I'm going to have to figure out, especially these first 6-8 months being on the other side of the table. But like Julie and the girls genuinely love Jonesboro, love the school out at Valley View, the neighborhood we live in. We have a lot of lifelong friends, and and we look forward to coming back. I mean, I feel like we've been here for much longer than 3 years.
It's interesting that there's some thought to the contrary, but the first conversation you and I had about this change, you made clear, this didn't make you Mr. Popular at home.
No, I'm still working on that part. And I get it. I mean, I was lucky. My parents, we lived in the same house for the most. We moved, but in the same town we lived in. But it's hard. My girls are 13 and about to turn 15. So my littlest plays travel volleyball. But that was the other part, too. We'll see how the schedule shakes out, but should allow me to go to more of her events. And then my oldest is probably getting out of school here in a minute, and she'll have a couple of her friends, and they'll jump on the golf cart and go play pickleball up at Ridge Point. So, yeah, they're ingrained, and it's going to be challenging, but we'll get there, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just like everything when we left Tuscaloosa. They weren't too fired up about that either. Julie and I just said, you know, you have to have trust that your mom and dad are making the best decision for you in the long term, and it didn't take them long to get acclimated here, and I'm sure it will be costly, and we'll have to take them shopping a few times in Dallas, but but we'll get there.
Yeah, you talk about saying goodbye to some of those donors, and you and I were texting Sunday, the day before the state awards, and talking about you getting up on stage. And I said, yeah, I think you should do that and say something to the student athletes. And I'm glad you were able to do that, because the way the timing works out, that's
the one time
of the year where all the student athletes are actually kind of together.
Yeah. And I haven't been able to get out and see, obviously, every single one of our student athletes, but a good majority were there that night. I tried to keep from tearing up a little bit. I'm not a crier by any means, but some of these conversations have been really hard, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I imagine so. And you just realize, I mean, being up there and reading a lot of the accomplishments, talking about everything that's happened, just in particular over the last year, just what a good state.
Yeah, I mean, athletics, like we talked about, I would love nothing more if we could close out the spring and win the Bubas Cup. That would be awesome. And then also, you know, our student athletes do such a good job, and our coaches encourage it, of getting out in the community and really getting to know people. That's important at a lot of places. It's really important here. And then the other part I'd say I'm proud of is, you know, on the academic side. We just had one of our best semesters we've ever had. Had a 3.2 department GPA. Our graduation success rate is 85%, which tied a school record. So I'm proud that they're getting it done in kind of all three of those areas.
I was just speaking to a group a couple weeks ago. I mean, it was actually the Leadership Jonesboro class. And one thing says, you know, no matter what job you're in, right? I don't care what field you work in. You go to work, you know, you got a list of things you need to get done that day. And chances are you're not getting to that whole list because there's going to be fires to put out. But even when you're working on the list, like what you're having to spend your time on is the things that need improving. All of a sudden you're doing this and you didn't realize how much stuff is going well. I know sometimes you've got to get the talking points because you're going to speak to a group. But like, has this given you a chance, this transition, given you a chance to stop and say, damn, stuff's going pretty good over here?
For sure. And you're right. Sometimes you get so bogged down with everything going on that you got to take a step back and really appreciate, you know, what we do have going. And I always tell our staff, I'm halfway joking, but halfway serious, that they'll come in with something that's pretty minor or just make the decision. And I trust your judgment, but I'll tell them that's not going to make my top 10 list today. Don't I use that a lot, Bubba?
Yeah, no, that's
but it's true.
That's the last
sometimes you have to, and I probably learned that was my philosophy for the most part, but working with Coach Saban, I had to learn how to navigate. How do you best utilize his time? How do you determine what he should or shouldn't be doing, you know, whether it's media or whatever the case may be, a TV show. But I would just literally make a list of 10 things because I knew I wasn't going to get to all 10. He might just get up and go back to the meeting room and watch film after 3. But the first 3 were the main priorities. And then you needed to have justification of why we should do that. So that might mean calling Chris Lowe at ESPN and getting some feedback on whatever the interview was about, things like that. So I do think you have to prioritize, and a lot of times you don't get to your last few at the end of the day. And what I find myself doing, usually at night after the kids go to bed, I'll send an email to myself. So it'll be at the top of the inbox the next morning of the things we need to focus on.
It's funny you said, because the thing that will keep getting said in that department on down the line here, you know, after you're on to the next thing, is like, that's not going to make the top 10. And we we use that in conversation now. I say, you know, look, this is not something that's going to make the top 10, but let's talk about it a second. And it's so
move it to the back burner. Maybe it moves into the top 10.
That terminology will stay.
Right.
We're keeping that.
Keep that going.
That'll make you proud.
That's
the legacy.
That's your legacy. Yeah.
You have to do it in a way where you're not, you know, making the person feel like, you know, whatever they're asking is not important. It's just, we're going to have to get to that a different time.
What are we leaving out here? Anything else you want to mention before we wrap this up one more time?
Again, I'd just like to thank everybody for how they've treated me and Julie and the girls. It's been an awesome experience. Look, it's a challenging job. We put in a lot of hours, and I want to thank our staff and coaches and our student athletes for all they do, because that success doesn't happen without everybody. And I think we have a really good team. Very appreciative of the opportunity that Dr. Welch and Brad gave me 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. That was a difficult decision. This wasn't easy either, but awesome people here in Jonesboro, and I told Dr. Kelly and Dr. Shields I'll be happy to help however I can. If they want any input at all, or there are a lot of things. Look, we've talked about a lot of the accomplishments, but there are a lot of things we need to do better and things we can improve on.
Man, it's been a fun run. Been a lot of fun having you around, and man, thanks for everything.
Appreciate y'all and all the hard work Brad puts in. But Matt, you give a lot of your time, and I don't think people realize it. I mean, you mentioned the State Awards Sunday night and traveling to baseball during the week and going to so many of our events beyond just the athletic side. I mean, there's so much more that goes into it. So appreciate you, and yeah, it's been a special time.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, and most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars.
Bring a vehicle,
get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Let's talk baseball. Four games on the road this past week, and it started with the final midweek game of the season. Last Tuesday, went down to Gary Hogan Field in Little Rock. This was the one and only matchup with the Trojans this year. We tried twice to play in Jonesboro, but got washed out both times. But it was a good win. A-State able to come back from 4-1 down, won it in 10 innings, 7-4. Always cool to go down there, because a lot of our fans in Central Arkansas that don't get to make a lot of the games in Jonesboro come. And I really don't remember a time where we've gone down to Little Rock and haven't had at least 50% of the crowd. And you can hear it. I mean, I'm sure anybody that listened to the broadcast the other night or was there could feel that energy. It always kind of feels like a home game when you go down there, but able to pull out a win.
I think we lose sight sometimes that by county, pretty much at any point you want to go look at these numbers, the top three counties in the state with the most A-State alums are Craighead, Greene, God's Country, and Pulaski. So there's a lot of A-State people in and around Little Rock. And, yeah, between the baseball people that will make that trip anyway and parents and families and a couple players, you know, two or three players on the roster from Little Rock, you know, had people. And then, yeah, A-State fans that maybe don't get to get up here during the season wanted to see what it was all about.
I love seeing the former players there. You know, Jared Toler, who is from Benton, just graduated last year. He was out at the game. He came by and said hello. And it's a unique setup for me anymore because it's not inside the press box. They actually have a table sitting at the top of the concourse, which I like at Little Rock because you're kind of out in the middle of everything and part of the atmosphere. So everybody's coming by and saying hello. And one person who I hadn't seen in a very long time, and you'll remember this guy, former catcher of ours, Drew Rogers, was there. Now, Drew was the catcher in my very first season at Arkansas State back in that 05-06. It was the 06 baseball season. And he came by and introduced himself, and he's asked if I remembered him. And I said, well, yeah, absolutely I do. And he introduced me to his two teenage sons. And I'm thinking, man, okay, I'm feeling old now. But, yeah, it was cool to see him. Had lunch with our buddy Philip Way. Had a really great time visiting with him and just being able to be down in Little Rock for that game. Now, one other story with that game on Tuesday night. Cooper Garrison got the save in that game. I'd even put something on social media the following day. I cannot remember a pitcher of ours appearing in six consecutive games, but that was his sixth straight appearance. Over that six-game stretch, he went like 6 2/3, gave up no runs on one hit. He had a win in there and got the save in that game against Little Rock. It was good to pick up that win. It was the fifth in a row for the Red Wolves, and it matched the longest win streak of the season. Knew it would be a big challenge going down to Hattiesburg for the weekend series against Southern Miss, a Southern Miss team that was ranked 22nd nationally, one of three ranked teams in the Sun Belt. Look, it was a great game on Friday night. Gavin Galley went the first four innings, gave up just one run, and then Jack Nelson was just lights out. He went 3 2/3, retired all 11 batters that he faced, struck out six of them, and were tied at one in the bottom of the ninth, and Southern Miss able to hit a walk-off home run to win it 2-1. Just a fantastic college baseball game that, unfortunately, somebody had to lose.
Your good old-fashioned pitcher's duel.
2 hours and 6 minutes.
Oh, that's your favorite part.
The comments I got, you know, Jack Duggins, their longtime SID, and John Cox, I think, is in his 45th or 46th year doing the radio there, and it's always great. Those folks are fantastic. And I even talked for a good while with Jeremy McLean, their athletic director, and all of those people were talking about just how much improved our baseball team yep. is than what they saw a season ago. So very complimentary.
So the walk-off homer, I was just running the number here, that stopped a run of 17 2/3 scoreless innings from the A-State bullpen.
Yeah, it's a big reason why this team has been top 20 nationally in ERA for a good part of the season now. So, yeah, the bullpen has been strong. Unfortunately, just nothing really went right the next 2 days. Southern Miss able to hold us to one hit in the game Saturday, falling in that one 8-0. I think Tyler Weimer has been a bright spot, though. Uh-huh. Mike Silva wanted to get three innings out of him. Tyler went three, really only made one mistake. They hit a two-run home run against him, but he gave up just the two runs in those three innings. And I was talking with Coach Silva before the game on Sunday, and he was really pleased with Tyler and thinks that, hey, he can be a big, big part of that starting rotation going forward into next year. Sunday got off to a really quick start. Ashton Quiller doubled on the first pitch of the ball game. We end up scoring twice in the first. And then we go to the bottom of the second inning. We're still on top 2-0. And unfortunately, Jack Hibbard, who we've talked so much about this year, and just the job that he's been able to do as a true freshman, had to exit with an injury. And he was emotional as he came off the mound, and just hated to see that for him. I know as we record this on Monday morning, this morning he was going to see the doctor to see the extent of the injury, but hopefully it's nothing too severe and he can be back soon. But, you know, he had to exit the ball game at that point. And then in that second inning, Southern Miss scores six times and it kind of snowballed from there. They go on to win it 14-2.
That sudden change like that, I liken it to a turnover in football. You know, a lot of times if you get it, if your defense generates a turnover, then you're going to go take a shot. A little sudden change, you're going to go for a big play right out of that. It's the same thing. Like when you have to make a sudden change like that, change pitchers sooner than you were anticipating, and all, it just like it throws everything, you know, out of whack. You're playing for basically the rest of the game. You're kind of in scramble mode.
Again, Southern Miss able to win the game. That was their ninth straight win. And I can tell you, we've seen Southern Miss. We've seen Coastal now. We'll see Troy, the other ranked team in the league, coming up this weekend. But that Southern Miss team is as good as any team we've seen. Just all around, they're every bit as good, if not a little bit better, than the Coastal team we saw a few weeks before. But that is a really, really good program. And there's a reason why they're the only Division I program in the country that has won at least 40 games each of the last 8 years, and they're going to make it nine in a row this year. So
it's interesting, you know, you say that with Coastal, as the polls started coming out on Monday morning, that's the first one I saw is Coastal in the top 10 now.
Yeah, with Baseball America, they're ranked number 8.
Yeah,
I do want to mention Will French tied that school record for career runs scored with the run he scored in the first inning on Sunday. So he and Todd Baumgartner are tied at 173 career runs. Hopefully Will will be able to break Baum's record on Friday night.
I know he's frustrated to just come home with that record tied. You know, I got to talk with him a minute, you know, last week before they headed out. And he anticipated scoring more than one run to hold that record. And obviously, you know, Southern Miss pitching has an awful lot to do with that he comes home tied with Baum. And then Baum, we were talking on a broadcast earlier, or last weekend, the last home weekend, and talking about Will French and going after that record. And, you know, and I guess Baum was watching because he sent a text at the time. And, you know, he said this before, and you know it to be true, too, is there's no one Todd Baumgartner would rather hand off the career runs scored record to than Will French.
All right, so as it stands right now, the Red Wolves 11-13 in conference play. They're tied for 7th with Georgia Southern and App State with 6 games to go. A big, big series coming up this weekend. Final home series of the season against a Troy team that is ranked number 14 by Baseball America. They're ranked number 19 by D1 Baseball this week. And one thing about Troy, they've won all 12 of their weekend series this year. And their record in conference play is 16-8. They've won 2 out of 3 every single weekend in conference play. All 8 weekends so far. So they know how to win series.
Well, I hope they don't win this next one. But it'll be fun to get them in there for the last home weekend. And, it, you know, look, now it's you're deep enough in this thing, you really can start looking at the standings and who's got what left and those sorts of things. And so, you know, as you mentioned, that 3-way tie for 7th. 2 games up on 11th with 6 to go. And the good news for the Red Wolves is that there's 4 teams that aren't going to make the tournament, and you've got the series win tiebreaker over 3 of them, and you didn't play the other one, James Madison, and you're 3 up on them with 6 to go. So, look, you didn't want to go to Southern Miss, get swept. You didn't want to go and let the Sunday game get away from you and all the things, but it wasn't like it was fatal.
No, this team still is in good position to make the conference tournament.
Only 2 teams in the league that have 2 series left against teams in the top 4 are Southern Miss and Arkansas State.
Yeah, we knew it would be a gauntlet these final 3 weeks of the regular season, and hopefully we can take advantage of the home field coming up this weekend. Let's talk men's golf. Not one, but 2 golfers are headed to the NCAA regionals. Sunbelt individual champ Jack Maxey, who we had on this podcast last week, along with Thomas Schmidt, headed to Auburn to compete next Monday through Wednesday. That's the 12th through the 14th. And it's the 3rd straight year and the 7th time in the last 8 years that A-State has been represented at regionals.
First time to send 2 individuals to regionals in the same year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. In
program history.
The all-conference teams were also announced this past week. Thomas Schmidt named Sunbelt Conference Golfer of the Year. It's the 2nd straight year he's been awarded that honor, and he's the first back-to-back Sunbelt Golfer of the Year since 2018. Some more accolades. Jake Wallace was named Sunbelt Freshman of the Year. So with Schmidt and Wallace getting their honors, Golfer of the Year and Freshman of the Year. It's the first time in league history those honors have come from the same team. So that's pretty cool. In addition to that, Schmidt, of course, named first team All-Conference, and Jake Wallace and Jack Maxey, both third team All-Conference selections. What a year.
Yeah, and you think, well, gosh, the Sun Belt individual champion was third team, but remember, he said and told us, he's won two tournaments in his A-State career. It was the last two. And he's been a solid player. It wasn't like he just, that's the reason he made it. It's just that we're not talking bad about him because he's there and said, look, I was a guy go shoot you solid scores, but probably you didn't think as a threat to win until the inner game of tennis came around.
That's right. Yeah, if you hadn't checked out our visit with Jack, had a really good time hearing about just how he changed his mental approach by reading the inner game of tennis, which helped him on the golf course this year. One other thing to mention here, track and field, they've got a huge week. They'll be in Harrisonburg, Virginia. James Madison hosting the Sun Belt Conference Outdoor Championships. That'll be Thursday through Saturday.
Let's go get a couple of titles. I mean, right? You were down to three.
I think they're still mad about the indoor season, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope. And we've got three scoring opportunities remaining in the Bubas Cup, baseball and two tracks. So we need to rack up some points.
Anything else we need to mention before we get out of here?
I mean, it is the last baseball weekend, so there'll be a lot of stuff going on. Senior Day, I would imagine the same thing we've done before, honor the guys who maybe don't get a chance to walk graduation Saturday. So I'm not sure if guys are going to get to take part in the early one or if we'll have a ceremony down at the stadium. But either way, they got graduation this weekend. They got Senior Day this weekend. Sunday's Mother's Day. There's some promotions going for that, so go online or on social media to check that out. And like I said, nothing changed about this team's lot or its path or what it's playing for after last weekend. So you only got three more chances to see this team. Really, I'll kick out the Sunday game against Georgia State with the crazy weather. So we're coming off back-to-back games with the two biggest crowds of the year. So yeah, you know, let's keep that going this weekend.
Charlotte Stilts' birthday party going to be held in the Barton's deck on Saturday. My 14-year-old, that's where she wants to celebrate. She wanted to go to the A-State game, so making me very proud.
Yes, yes, good job.
All right, thanks to Jeff Purinton for coming in. Enjoyed our exit interview with him. A great 3 years. He did a lot of great things for A-State athletics, and wish him and his family, Julie and Josie and Jillian, the very best. For everybody who's been a part of this one, for Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.